This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. So, you know, you're listening to one of your favorite songs. I don't know. Let's say Beat It by Michael Jackson. And you're bopping to the music and you start singing the familiar lyrics. And then you do a double take and you say, wait a minute, that's not Michael Jackson. That's Weird Al Yankovic doing Eat It, the parody of the popular Michael Jackson song. Weird Al's been sending up well-known musicians since mullets were cool. He targeted fan favorites like Madonna and Queen in the 1980s, then on to grunge rockers like Nirvana in the 90s, and he's still going strong today, taking shots at Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, and Justin Bieber. In fact, Weird Al is everywhere these days. He's got a new album, Alpocalypse, released on June 21st. He's got a DVD, Weird Al Yankovic Live, the Alpocalypse Tour. That came out Tuesday. He's got a children's book called When I Grow Up. And he's going to be performing at Deepak on Sunday, but first joins us by phone. Weird Al, welcome to the program. Good
Thank
to talk.
You very much.
How did you get started doing parodies?
You know, I started the way I think every kid in the universe started, just making fun of the songs on the radio to amuse myself and my friends. So, you know, I think that that's part of, you know, a little kid's DNA. You're irreverent. You're always making fun of things. And it was just a phase that I never grew out of.
Did you ever want to be a pop musician yourself?
Well, I remember when I was a kid that, you know, I would have fantasies like, you know, singing into the hairbrush in the bathroom mirror kind of pipe dreams. But I never really thought that I'd do it for a living. It was just, you know, kind of a wild fantasy. And it's kind of boggles my mind that I actually get to do this for a living.
Well, and you get to be called a parodist.
That's right.
I think that's very cool. Do you actually put that on your tax form?
What does it say? I think it just says entertainer. It's too hard to describe.
So, but you said you are. So were you surprised? I mean, when it took off the way that it did?
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite immediate. I mean, it wasn't really until Eat It hit that I kind of felt like I'd, you know, kind of crossed over into the mainstream of sorts. I mean, I'd been kind of kicking around for a few years before then, and you know, I had a few nationally released singles, which made a little bit of noise, but didn't really push me forward too much. And my first album did okay, but didn't really burn up the charts. So thankfully, I did well enough that they kept giving me chances to try again. And when Eat It hit in '84, that really kind of broke it wide open.
How important was Dr. Demento, your syndicated radio show, to your career?
Well, if it hadn't been for him, I highly doubt that I'd be doing this for a living. I mean, there wasn't really anybody at that time that was giving a whole lot of airplay to teenage kids playing the accordion. You know, this is the mid-70s.
Right.
This is pre YouTube by a couple of decades. And yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of outlet for what I was doing. So if I hadn't gotten that kind of exposure and encouragement early on, I shudder to think what I'd be doing right now. Probably something a lot closer to my college major, which was architecture.
Wow. Now, your songs parody the music of pop stars, but they're really not mean in a way. And in fact, I understand. Do you actually ask permission to do your parodies?
I do. I always get the blessing of the original artist, which legally I don't necessarily have to do, but I've always done it that way just because, you know, I think maybe that's one of the reasons why I've been able to hang around in this business as long as I have, is I want to make sure that I don't step on toes or burn bridges. I want the artist to be in on the joke. And thankfully, most of them really get the humor. They understand that it's not derogatory. It's meant to be an homage.
You do. It is an homage in many ways. It seems to me you really have to understand the music, both in terms of the records and now in the videos. I mean, you really have to understand how that medium works to pull off a good production, don't you?
Yeah, and I've been doing this for a while. I mean, you know, I started about the same time that MTV started, so I didn't direct my first several videos. My manager actually directed a lot of them in the 80s, even though he was about as green as I was. But, you know, with repetition comes experience, and after a while I sort of thought I could do it on my own, so I started producing my own albums and directing my own videos. And you know, if you do something long enough, apparently you get competent at it.
Well, but you have to know. So, did you have to actually study music? I mean, how deep into the music do you have to get to understand exactly what's going on here to come up with a good parody?
Well, I took 3 years of accordion lessons, so apparently that's all it takes, really.
Okay. That's it. Is there anybody you can't parody?
I can't imagine anybody or anything that would be unparodyable. I mean, there are a lot of times when I've wanted to do a parody of a particular song and I couldn't think of a clever enough idea. But I don't really think anybody or anything is beyond parody. I'd be hard-pressed to think of what that would be.
All right. You have original songs as well. Which do you have a better time with, make it up your own or doing parodies?
They're both fun. They both present their own set of challenges. I mean, when I do an original song, I'm obviously starting from scratch there. And a lot of the original songs are pastiches, meaning they're not parodies per se, but they are original compositions, but they're done in the style of another artist. For example, I pretend like it's whatever I'm writing is the missing track off of any other artist's given album. Like, this is the track that was too weird and stupid to make it onto the album. That's the song I'm writing.
Now, you talked about the accordion, playing the accordion. Were you serious about accordion music when you started to play? And polka, I know, plays an important part in your background anyway.
Well, I don't know how you define serious, but I didn't think I was going to be a professional accordion player. It was something I did for fun and as a hobby. And, you know, my parents were paying good money for the lessons, so I made sure to practice and do my homework. But, I enjoyed it, but I never really thought that it would enter into my future vocation.
And again, the videos are, I mean, I just think they're stunning and they're very funny. But again, they're only funny because they're so professionally done. You really get it. I mean, have you thought about doing, and I guess you have worked seriously with other artists doing serious, behind the scenes work, but directing other videos, right?
Yeah. And most of the videos that I direct are not like dour, serious videos. They've got a bit of a sense of humor to them, but I have directed music videos for other artists, Ben Folds and Black Crowes and Hanson and John Spencer Blues Explosion, a few others. I do enjoy doing that. I think if you hire me, you're kind of expecting a little bit of a twisted sense of humor. So there are plenty of people that can do unfunny music videos, and you'd probably hire them if you want that.
You have survived a lot of eras in music through the decades. Which is your favorite era?
For pop music, my recent favorite era is probably the 90s, just because I really like the whole grunge movement. I like the whole DIY garage band kind of thing. I may be an old man, but I kind of like real instruments. I think a lot of the music that qualifies as pop today is very sequenced done on computers, which, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I just have a personal affinity for actual instruments and real bands.
These days, do you think that music is, I mean, in a sense, it is its own parody? Is it hard for you to find the funny part when you're doing, say, Lady Gaga?
Well, Lady Gaga presents a unique challenge because it's kind of hard to out-weird Gaga, She's pretty extreme already, so, that was my challenge. I mean, I really did have to, like, rip out intestines and set myself on fire to one-up her. And she's probably going to do that next year anyway, so it's probably going to be absolutely very soon.
She's going to do the parody of you, and then she'll sell 12 million albums, which is what she's always wanted to do anyway. So you, now you're doing this. Have you thought about, or can you ever move into another business? In other words, could you just start being a record producer or a video producer and stop being Weird Al? Would that be anything that was interesting?
Well, anything that I do behind the scenes, meaning not in front of a microphone or in front of a camera, I just bill myself as Al Yankovic. I mean, this year I put out a children's book under the name Al Yankovic, and it did quite well. It's actually a New York Times bestseller. And as I've pointed out, I have directed for other people. I haven't produced albums for other people because I haven't really wanted to. It's an incredible amount of work, and I generally would only put in that kind of work for my own projects. I look to expand what I do, and doing the records and doing the tours and the videos. I mean, that's my primary objective and my first love. But I mean, I want to try to branch out and expand my horizons as much as I can.
So what do we see when we see go to a Weird Al Yankovic concert?
Well, for the people that haven't ever had the Weird Al live experience, it's basically a high-energy rock and comedy multimedia show. I'm on stage with the same band that I've had since the very beginning. There are a lot of costume changes. There might even be more than in Gaga's show. I don't know, but there's quite a few. And there's film clips on the big screen so that there's always things going on when you're doing the costume changes. It's got a lot of production value. It's very theatrical. We try to, we try to give people their money's worth.
Weird Al, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Weird Al Yankovic is a musician, a writer, a parodist, and more. His new album, Alpocalypse, was released June 21st. Got a DVD, Weird Al Yankovic Live, The Alpocalypse Tour. That just came out Tuesday. He's written a children's book called When I Grow Up, and he's going to be at DPEC this Sunday. For more information, go to weirdal.com. Coming up, a traveling exhibit on race comes to the Museum of Life and Science with the message, race doesn't exist. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.
And if you play that song, that nauseating song, it might just make me lose my lunch. That achy, breaky song, I think it's driving me insane. Oh, please don't play that song, that irritating song. I'd rather have a pitchfork in my brain. Don't play that song, that achy, breaky song, the most annoying song I know. And if you play that song, that achy, breaky song, I might blow up my radio.